I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You're a flop. This is Flop Culture. You are listening to Flop Culture, a podcast where I speak to an esteemed guest about a flop they find interesting, confounding, and potentially isn't a flop at all. I'm your host, Fionnuala. I hope you're well. You can find Flop Culture on social media. I'd love if you kept up with us there. It's flopculture_pod on Instagram and TikTok. And you know what else I love? Ratings, particularly 4 or 5 star ones. If you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and you leave your nickname in the review or a name, whatever, can be a real name, I don't care. Rat yourself out. If you leave that there, I will recommend a bop or a flop that I don't actually think is a flop at all at the end of the next week's episode. So please do that. Love your ratings. And it also helps people find the show. If you can't get enough Flop Culture, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/flopculture. You get minimum 2 bonus episodes a month. So you'll get things like deep dives into why Taylor Swift is courting the NFL at all. We've got a series called Bop Culture, which is where we talk about things that are actually good with esteemed guests. So we've got our Fleabag rewatch podcast. There's a Severance podcast coming soon, or it might be up at this point. Who knows? That's very exciting, coming for the people. So yeah, join us over there. It's a lot of fun. As I'm recording this, I am on my Jolliers. I am in Australia seeking out Australian flops. So for that reason, there's no news. There's no top of the flops. I'm not unleashing my wrath on anyone. But there are still flops. There will always be flops. And I am so delighted to introduce this week's one. This is such a good episode. Before X Factor, before The Voice, there was You're a Star, a reality TV singing competition that couldn't have been more Irish if it tried. Aspiring singers competed to represent Ireland at the Eurovision Song Contest. However, several format changes and rival shows meant Your Star inevitably had to sing its swan song. Joining me to discuss Your Star is showbiz editor with RSVP magazine, Mikey O'Loughlin. Mikey O'Loughlin, thank you so much for joining me on Flop Culture. This has been a long time coming because I think I've cancelled and rescheduled 8,000 times. So apologies about that, but thank you for being here for this episode. Much appreciated.
I always felt really bad. It was always hard to get a date.
Between the two of us, like summer, just honestly nuts, nuts.
Look, I'm well used to finding it hard to get a date. That's fine.
Great, brilliant start. Just me actively insulting my poor guests. I'm delighted to have you on, especially for this episode in particular, because obviously reality TV, it's my bread and butter. Irish reality TV, also my bread and butter. What have you picked for this week's episode?
I have picked You're a Star.
Yeah. Oh, I hope everyone read the title of this episode and also started saying to themselves.
But you have to. And like, if it doesn't randomly come into your head in the shower or, you know, like when you have the Sunday scaries and you can't go to sleep, like, are you even Irish? Did Truly. You grow up in the noughties?
So what's your first memory of the show for you? Because like, obviously I was rewatching a few bits to record this episode. And I remember like the momentum around season one. I remember kind of being actively really in it for season two. And then I think I kind of fell off after that. But it's so funny reading back the names and seeing everyone who was involved and some of the people you might have forgotten. It's crazy. So what's your kind of like lasting memory of it from when you were growing up?
I would say it would be similar to season with you in that sense, season one and season two. I only really remember the final of season one, and I remember like the hype around Mickey Jo and Simon Casey, and it came that year after Pop Idol. So they were kind of like our Will Young and Gareth Gates. It was like, who's going to win? It was very 50-50. And I remember Larry Bass, who's the producer of it from Shin O'Will, they produce Dance with the Stars now. And he said once, anecdotally, that more people voted in that final than voted in the general election the year before. Which, not surprised if that fact is in fact true.
I would believe it. I just, like, I have such a thing of, just again, that feeling of, like, community and all of us coming together to be like, because obviously, well, sorry, for anyone who's unfamiliar, those initial seasons of Your Star, it was all about selecting someone to go ahead and represent us in the Eurovision. And obviously, we have such a, we're in high regard at the Eurovision and we've done so well previously. And, but you could also nearly say, like, this was kind of the start of us falling off, but probably unfairly, because Mickey Jo, that song slapped.
Oh,
that man and his sparkling green guitar, it holds up. 20 years today, it still does, 100%.
I will never not go anywhere in requested. And like, it did come at a very precarious time in Irish Eurovision history. We'd won the three times in the noughties. We got second place in 97. I think we got a top 10 finish then the year after. And then it started to slowly fall off. So now we have two semi-finals in the Eurovision and I think about 42 countries. Back then it was a lot less. You're looking at maybe about the 30 mark. So if you didn't do well, you had to skip the following year. So people were kind of disqualified of a sort.
Oh my God, I forgot
that. Yeah, so we weren't in 2002. So it was like, Ireland, you're not in it. So obviously there was a big panic in RTE. What will we do? They've probably seen how well Pop Idol had done in the UK. We'll do a similar format. And the format worked in the sense that massive audiences viewed the 6:30 slot on the Sunday, which is still the shiny floor slot, followed by Ireland, the All Ireland Talent Show and Fame the Musical.
It was when the Wikipedia page of Your Star is a treat. I would suggest going and watching it or reading it. But like, even when it said, so obviously like Your Star replaced Pop Idol, and then it was like Your Star is replaced at the All Ireland Talent Show. I was like, I remember ferociously watching like the provinces competing with each other, like Munster, and then Dublin was just on its own, and John Creedon was then in Munster. Like, it was just so quintessential Irish. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the All Ireland Talent Show. You're more than welcome to come back and talk about that. But yeah, I just, like, it was such, this was event television.
Yes.
Like, it really, even like watching back some of the clips from season two and how well they did, like, you know, they followed the contestants through the auditions and then you'd like the heats, and then you had, you know, when it got to a certain number of people, they moved up to a bigger stage in the Helix, it's so funny because that's just where people graduate as well, you know what I mean? It's just, they did it really well, and you had like obviously the judges, like Ray Darcy hosting, huge star. It had a lot. It's kind of no wonder that everyone was glued. And then you try in the Eurovision thing, it's like, well, obviously we're going to be eating this up. Like,
and like the judges, Kerry Katona was a judge on series one, and she was going out with Brian McFadden, not going out, married to Brian McFadden at the time, had just come from a Tommy Kitten fame in and around the time she won I'm a Celebrity. So like, she was huge news. You know, then Louis Walsh came in. Obviously, he was massive news coming in from Pop Stars, Linda Martin. Going on a few series, the introduction of Brendan O'Connor into our lives for the very first time. But it was season two that really was the one for me. And it was because it was a girl from Ennis, Ruth Cullen. And
shout out Ruth Cullen.
Hello, Ruth Cullen.
Shout out Ennis.
Shout out Ennis, absolutely. And she, so it began with the audition process was before Christmas. And that's when you whittle down the heat. So you got Ennis, Longford, Cork, Galway, Dublin, wherever. And I just remember clearly one of them being Longford and obviously Ennis. And she made it through the heat. So it was two people qualified from each heat. And I think there was wild cards. So she qualified and it was just the whole town was behind her and she was only about 17 and she sang Fields of Gold.
I'm obsessed with that. I don't know if we... I was about to say this and people are going to get ratty at me. I'm sure there was. I can't remember a significant Cork applicant. Though, actually, I correct myself. There was one season and I had no idea about this. If anyone is as chronically online as me and is like into makeup or whatever, there's a makeup artist, incredible makeup artist, bridal makeup artist, Jeanette Cronin. She was in it one of the years because I was going back to like, again, like Wikipedia list of all the contestants and it was like she was in one of the seasons. And I was like, that's hardly like Jeanette Cronin makeup, like doing the bride's makeup, beautiful brides, like, and then I looked it up and it was. I was like,
like, I think everybody has some connection to somebody.
I couldn't realise how many people I knew. So, like, obviously, like, season one, the inaugural one, everyone know, I think, and that's one the most people remember. Mickey Jo Hart from Lifford, shout out. Simon Casey. Season two,
Season one, Brian Ormond. Brian Ormond, who was also on Pop Idol.
Okay, and, talk to me about
this. Popstars. So, Brian Ormond did the circuit of the music shows.
Yeah.
He did Popstars. He made it to, I think he was, like, so they brought it down to 12 is how they did in Popstars.
This is like crashing back to me like a wave.
Six made it into six.
Yeah.
Six didn't. And he was one of the six. And if something happened to one of the band members, he was supposed to get into the band. What happened to one of the band members? She was 11. I couldn't be in. Hello, Nadine Coyle.
Hello, Nadine Coyle. Famed listener of Flop Culture, I'm sure.
And he didn't make it in. Anyway, then he went on to Pop Idol in the UK and then did Eurostar. And then he went on to host Eurostar in the last season. So... you know, his career, I think, came full circle.
All comes around. All comes around.
Yeah, you just have to wait.
Yeah, you just have to wait. You just have to hang around long enough and wait. Yeah, absolutely. Season two, then, I think a lot more people will remember because I kind of didn't see the names. And then I watched clips and it was like, oh, yes, Chris Doran, this is all coming screaming back to me. What a voice. What a beautiful man. Oh, my God. I remember being... so I remember because this again was back in the time where like because it was such a big deal and again the Eurovision connection, like the winner was announced on RT News. It was like the last item on the RT, like 9 o'clock or whatever news, being like, and Chris Doran will be going to represent us in, I can't remember where we were that year, Turkey I think. But even watching it back, he's the smoothest man ever. Yeah. But like also, one of the auditions that always stood out for me, but I couldn't remember his name, George Murphy, Raglan Road.
Yes.
When I watched that, I was like, oh, it was like a jigsaw piece was put back into my brain. Like, and so funny because we only saw, myself and Keane only saw him very recently, because he was performing at Oktoberfest.
I was there.
And Keane kept saying, Keane was like, George Murphy, because sorry, my boyfriend Keane is from Beaumont. George Murphy's from Beaumont. He's like Dublin hero, yes, whatever. And I was watching the audition and I was like, and then it was just like screaming back to me. But all his performances, there's one where he's like wearing a hat and stuff. It was the performance where he messes all
three times.
No reality show will ever compete.
No.
Sorry. And you're seeing him backstage and he's talking to like his granny or something and he's getting really upset. And he's this child of 17, like the pressure.
It was huge news. He was set to win it. He had won all day, each week. He
was
again, all the votes. And then it got to like, I think the quarterfinal stage and boom, he's out. I think that's how a lot of the reality shows work. If you're a favourite from day one, you don't win. But also the producers did a One Direction on it and had four guys called Final Four. you know, it's obviously a great name. So they were like 10 years ahead of One Direction, or maybe 7 years ahead of One Direction, and boom, there they were having a formed band of four, I suppose, for lack of a better word, rejects. But that, you want to be the reject, hello, One Direction.
Yeah, truly,
They're doing quite well. And they ended up backing Chris Doran. And then there was a lot of hype behind season two because Mickey Jo Hart's song did so well, still standing to this day. And he came 11th in the Eurovision, which was, you know, in grander scheme of things, quite good.
It's good compared to us now, which is so funny. At the time, people were like, this is shocking. But like as a single, it did so well, went number one on the chart, remained there for 5 weeks, which is unheard of now for like even a contemporary song.
Has anyone been to a wedding where it hasn't been played? Because I don't think
it has. Truly, absolutely not. Fastest best-selling single of 2003, Beyond. So yeah, you had all this hype. Chris Doran's in it. I'm trying to think of, there was someone else significant that I'm missing in that contestant. I'm sure you're about to tell me.
The James Kilbane came second.
James Kilbane. Talk to me about the James Kilbane of it all.
So he was kind of like the older contestant, to use that term. And I'm sure 20 years on, he actually probably wasn't that old at the time.
Oh, literally not at all.
That's just how things worked.
Poor Louis Walsh being like, there's a bang of Donegal, there's a bang of Daniel O'Donnell off you. I'm like, leave that man alone. He just really wants to sing. Yeah. Like,
And I think back then in 2003, 2004, people who were just over 30 were actually 50, even though they were just 31.
Truly,
and
yeah.
We can say that now. We're approaching those ages.
We're progressive now, it's perfect. And yeah, we are also rapidly approaching those ages.
Yeah, but like everyone who just was over that age was just old. Like even like looking at the X Factor, the over 25s.
I know.
We were like over the hill, like over 25.
I remember looking at Shane Ward and like still fancy him, but also being like, that man is the oldest man I've ever seen. That man is as old this time. He's in the over 25s category.
And that's who James Kilbane was. And he's still performing in country music. I remember hearing him on Liveline during the year. So there he is, still doing his
Shout out James Kilbane, yeah. Wherever you
and
are.
And I remember the girl who came third, or woman who came third, was Jean... Butler's coming to my head, but it's not Jean Butler.
It's not Jean Butler, but I know exactly what you're on about.
Jean, anyway.
She had a really good... She did a performance of Come Together, the Beatles.
Yes, I remember being really sexy.
Really sexy.
And me as like age 10, been like, why aren't we sending that to Eurovision? That would translate really well.
But it's so funny to hear her talk about it. So again, I don't know, international listeners or anyone who doesn't really remember, this was like, as much as this was the biggest show on TV, it was also like... How do I put this politely? Like, it was nothing compared to X Factor in comparison to, like, the later years when it's, like, there's full choreo, there's backing dancers.
There was no Beyoncé singing with anybody.
There was absolutely not. It was them on a stage in the Helix, Dublin. We love the North Side. Shout out the North Side. And that was it. But this particular performance of Jean is so funny because she's talking about, like, how she wanted to do something different and she felt like she was being typecast. So she's like... The performance is her and she's kind of doing a little bit of chairography, but it's just like...
In a trilby hat.
In a pink trilby hat. Now she's slaying... Girls, I let the record show. She's slaying. Mm. Not a critique of her, but she's talking and she's like, I wanted the chair. I wanted the hat. I'm like, oh my God, there was absolutely no production here that Jean's like, give me one chair and a hat, please. I'm begging like for this iconic performance. I am going to slay the house down boots like... And she did in fairness. It was just... It's just so... So quintessentially Irish and just, it's perfect. Like even there's a clip where they go see, because the judges get to pick like one wildcard for back to the season. And there's a whole thing where it's like, they're going to like surprise them, whatever. And half of them are just in their gaffs or whatever, just like do it. And it's like Linda Martin being like, I hope someone's home, whatever. And like,
you're running up her driveway.
Yeah. And she's like, what would you say if I said the word wildcard to you? And then your one's going, like just losing her mind. It's just, it's actually perfect television. Yeah. I miss it so, so much.
And like the votes must have been coming in thick and fast. Because there's a lot of parochial regionalness to it all that, you know, if someone is from your area, you're going to vote for them. I remember, I was only allowed 2 votes a week for Ruth Cullen. So obviously the phone bill must have been sky high. Or that there was a very high texting call number. So. No, and she didn't win. So maybe we've got more votes on.
Sorry, Ruth. You're the people's winner. You're a flat culture's winner, anyway.
We talked about George Murphy and him messing up his. He was starting at the wrong time.
Yeah, it was the first week. So, like, late performance. Again, he's 17. He's a child on the stage. It's, beyond.
There was another guy that week and he sang Mary. I'm not sure who sings that song originally.
Oh, Philip Noon.
Yes.
Philip Noon's a contestant.
And then he was like, well, if George Murphy did that and restarted and got all the sympathy, I can't. So he just sang the song out of tune.
He is out of tune, God love him. Like,
and he said it in his post-interview. He's like, I didn't want to do a George on it because, you know, George did the George on it. You can't be another one. So I just went along with it.
But again, it's that kind of Irish attitude. Like, there was no malice in what Philip was saying, but it was just like very truthful, being like, well, somebody's already done it. I'm not going to do it and play up to it because people will be like, oh, here you are, begging for sympathy or whatever. Oh my God. I actually looked him up, funnily enough. He's now in Doha. If anyone wants to look him up on Instagram, he's performing away, happy out. He saw Post Malone recently and he got a video with him. So
great.
Shout out Phil Moon. Love to see it. What did you think of Chris Doran winning? Were you a Chris Doran stan? And what did you think of the song that ultimately went on to represent us at Eurovision that year?
Do you know, like looking back, it's not a terrible song and it's very much that Irish ballad, but it came in a time where it was right at the beginning of the novelty acts. And you needed the novelty to stand out. And that obviously just wasn't there. Mm. There was no novelty whatsoever. He was very handsome, but I remember my aunt really fancying him and me being like, oh my God, no. And now I look back and I'm like, what a ride.
Oh, like,
like he just, and he has this thing where he's kind of barely holding the mic up to his mouth. I was like, stop flirting with me, Chris Thorne, through the laptop. Like it was just, he had that like charisma and this kind of insane confidence that you didn't see with the rest of them. He was just like, I'm here, I know I can sing.
Yeah.
And you got even that with the judges' feedback. Judges were, and I should say the judges at this point were, it was Louis Walsh, Linda Martin, Phil Coulter, like eating it up, like gobble gobble. They
I
loved Chris.
I interviewed Phil Coulter last year and all I did was ask about yours.
And I'd say he was like, get the fuck away from me.
I couldn't use any of it because it was just for my own personal information. I was like, and what happened then? And what happened then?
Mikey is preparing like hours and hours of audio for his own like explosive like West Cork podcast series when it's on your star.
Absolutely. And I want it. I'd like people would listen, all 15 people.
Oh, truly. I would. I would just play over and over again.
My standout thing, Chris Doran, is he'd won piece of choreography and he just did a stop.
Yeah, he loved to stop.
It's a stop. And I was like, yes, give us that stop.
Oh, here, actually, I have to talk about this before moving on to the next season. At one point at the start of season two, and again, go back, you'll find it on YouTube. Like, when I say Linda Martin is wearing one of the most elaborate necklaces I've ever seen, it's taking up her entire, it's like a chess piece, like, it's just... It's so iconic. I love
it. And what I love about the judges as well, they were just sitting on a couch on the side of the stage.
I meant to say that when I was talking about like the production budget. It's like they're just they're here on a sofa, just like, yes, yeah. Well done, very
and
good.
Just there beside the microphones. Like they're not in front of the stage. They're not like away from the stage. They're just part of it.
It's like they
it's
forgot.
Like, just don't put the camera on them now. Yeah. And now put the camera on
it's
them.
It's like they forgot they were there or that they had to be part of it.
Shit, where will we put the judges?
Oh, so good. So good. Season three brings us into 2004, 2005. There's a few changes to the season as well. So they're not just letting solo singer performers. Bands are allowed in under the size of 6 people could now enter. Donna and Joseph McCall. So let's talk about it. I don't have any memories of them on this season, but I obviously remember the song going to Eurovision and them not doing great, unfortunately, but...
What I remember is them not supposed to win. They came up kind of slowly through it in the background.
Okay.
They weren't these favourites whatsoever, and then boom, they just won.
They just won.
Now, the song, I'm sure, when you heard it first, was really catchy, and that was part of Eurostars. They were given their song... for the final, so you knew what song was going to represent Ireland in the Eurovision, which is actually very handy to know. It wasn't you pick a winner, they got a song after. The song is also written by Carl Broderick, husband of Alan Hughes of Ireland AM.
Shout out, Carl.
Well. Yeah. And it's love, question mark.
Love, question mark. Which I think got a raw deal. I actually think that's a slapper of a song. I think, was it with the right act? Not sure.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
This was our first time in the semi-final, so I don't think we really knew what the story was. I think we were all
within Eurovision.
In the Eurovision, okay. I think we were all a bit like, what's the semi-final?
Yeah.
Why aren't we in the
Why
final?
Why aren't we just automatically in it? Because we're usually really good, ?
And then we didn't qualify and it was like, oh okay, what's the story here? So both of them, obviously sibling act from Athlone.
Shout out Athlone.
Hello.
Everyone's getting the shout-outs on this episode.
Close to everyone around the country. And they went on to have huge careers afterwards in the immediate aftermath. They were on Fawlty Towers, if we remember that. That's another one for another day.
We're racking up the list. Like, just Mikey's back for All Ireland Talent Show, Fawlty Towers. Perfect. Great, brilliant.
Evelyn Cusack is on Fawlty Towers. Like, that's just iconic.
I'm upset. Don't get me started on Fawlty Towers. We will never leave this house.
they were on it. And then there was a boxing thing that Joe was involved in a few years later. Donna went on to be in Playboy Mansion.
What?
Yes, Donna lived in the Playboy Mansion. As careers goes, I think that is a good...
That's my career trajectory.
That's a good 180.
The only reason I'm doing any of this shit is so I can eventually just like walk through the hall in the Playboy Mansion and someone be like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, both of them turn up every now and again, both of them out.
I think they're still kind of involved in music a little bit.
Yeah. I remember seeing one of them on a dating app. I don't know how much I can say about that. And of course I went, love can build you up.
And love can build you up, question mark.
And then look, and then he replied, love can take you down. Look, and it was the
good sport. Good sport.
Like, we love the joke.
Yeah. We love it. Yeah. We love it.
They're also very young. I think definitely Joe was in his very late teens.
Yeah.
He hadn't turned 20. And I remember Donna with her little hat and her big belts, very mid-noughties styling.
It's so mid-noughties. I love that song. I really do. I really, really do. Kind of embarrassing for them. It was the first Eurostar winner not to reach number one. Now, I will say the reason it didn't, face stiff competition from Akon Lonely. You know what I mean?
Hear.
So like,
no,
Akon was never going to let them,
that
you know?
That song was just brilliant. That was an iconic song.
Truly. This was Ray Darcy's last season hosting as well. He's like my quintessential memory of the host as well. And even kind of watching back the clips, he's great crack. Even doing the auditions, he's very funny. Like going, like running down the queues of people being like, everybody cheer, woo!
Not overly produced whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so funny.
And
I love this.
Is the change. This is the last year that people qualified for the Eurovision. The judges all changed and it was a brand new format then.
Mm.
And I think, for me anyway, Lucia Evans wins series four. I don't know who that is.
We'll talk about Lucy Evans in a second because, again, I have a very, again, quintessentially local Irish memory of her. But what do you think about that change that they made? Did you think it was the right call at the time? And I suppose, would you have any thoughts on them bringing something similar back for our current Eurovision entrance going forward? Because obviously, like, let's call it a bit of spade. We've been shit, like.
Yeah.
Unfairly, I think, in a lot of cases. Yeah. Like, obviously, I don't need to be batting for Brooke here. Everyone knows, like, how she didn't qualify, no idea.
No.
Like, nuts, like. But what do you think? Is it a format that you could see coming back?
Well, like, that's what works in Sweden. But what happens is they don't sing a Britney song week one and a Beyonce song week two and the Beatles week three. They come in with their song.
With the song, yeah.
And that's what you have to do.
Is all covers.
You need to see the song, you need to see the production, you need to see the outfit. Now, I'm sure in Sweden it all gets tweaked again, but you need to have an idea of what you're voting for. Like, I know in what the current format, it's on the Late Late Show, we see the five songs, so you do know what song you're voting for, but you don't see any bit of a production. We all know the sound in the Late Late studio. Like, it's just shite. Like, it just doesn't work for anyone. Even international acts don't sound great in there. It just doesn't work. So I do think if you're going to do that, it needs to be a few heats. You maybe get 20 acts over 4 weeks, whittle it all down. But then you just get a popularity contest in Ireland of, you know, who's got the biggest fan base. You need to see who's going to win Eurovision. Who's going to qualify from the semi-final for Eurovision? That is the most important thing. I think it was a great idea when we had it for Mickey Joe. The song worked with Mickey Joe.
Yeah.
And it worked on stage. Like, he was one of the favourites that year to win Eurovision. And I think there was a disappointment he didn't come 11th. I think in the grander scheme, it was great. It's our second highest placement in the last 20 years. Other than Jedward. Hello, Jedward.
Hello, Jedward.
Coming eighth. So it worked. And then from Chris Jordan onwards, it didn't. So I think the format needed to change. But I think at that point, they could have got rid of Eurostar.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, because this is the thing. I didn't actually realize how long it went on. So, like, in terms of flops, like, it ran from 2002 to 2008,
yeah.
Which, like, it also feels like 800 years ago, but then you watch and it brings you screaming back. So that fourth season, this is 2005, and as you said, it's totally changed. It's not stripped in Ireland, the Eurovision. It was a recording contract with Universal Music Ireland and Polydor UK and €10,000 worth of musical and audio equipment. And again, I don't remember anyone really in this, but I do remember Lucy Evans and I remember the song, "'Cause I'm bruised but I'm not broken,
oh my God, yes.
Hurt but I'm still hoping." And I remember when she won, and I loved it. I actually do like that song, but I think it was a bit like, again, I think we're moving out of ballad territory at this time, so I think people are a bit like over it. But I remember, if anyone doesn't know this about me, my dad's actually from Carlow, and she was doing like a signed meet and greet in the Roxy music shop in the Fairgreen shopping centre. And I remember seeing the signs for it and being really annoyed that I couldn't go because it was on like a Sunday. And if we were going up to Carlow, like we'd usually be going home the Sunday back to Cork, you know? So I was devastated. That's my resounding memory of Lucy Evans. And actually, sorry, it was this season that Jeanette Cronin was on it. So
okay, yes, your friend from Cork.
Shout out to Jeanette Cronin. She's actually not my friend, and I'd say she's going to be told about this podcast and be like, shut the fuck up talking about me. Like, why? Get my name out of your mouth.
Legal letters coming in.
But yeah, that song, Bruise Not Broken, only peaked number five. I say only peaked. Number five, nothing to be sniffed at.
No.
But I think, again, this shows the trajectory that your star was on. Yeah. And I think it's also important to state, I think X Factor kicked off in 2004, right? So this was like, X Factor was just kind of peaking. You're coming into like peak, obviously Steve Brookstein, we won't talk about Steve Brookstein at all, but Shane Ward, you're like, it's
towards Leona Lewis.
Yeah, it's only up from there. So I think people were looking at going between X Factor and your star, if you had the eight channels or whatever, and you were like, this kind of bitch, maybe?
Really,
I don't know.
You're not going to focus on both realistically.
Yeah.
It takes up your whole weekend.
Yeah. You know? Especially, Mikey's like, I was busy.
I had loads on.
But I do also think, as much as they were probably right to change the Eurovision thing, I think maybe it caused people to give less, like, maybe this is a really unfair generalisation. I think at that point, we cared so much about Eurovision more than we did, or more than we had a belief in, like, Irish artists in that realm, if that makes it. Like, I think it's so great now. We have this kind of slew of pop artists and bands coming out and they have a chance to, like, do really well and be successful, and there's more big Irish acts than ever and we're getting behind them. I don't think we kind of were at that point as a general public. I don't think we were taking people... I think it was different to be like, okay, you're a Eurovision artist, you're representing us at Eurovision, that's a big deal, we'll get behind you. But it was just like, oh, you're putting a little song out, that's great. But like, you're never going to be Britney or whoever, again, the big contemporaries of that time. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, actually, I never thought of it that way. And there was no big Irish acts that came out of the mid-noughties that I can think of off the top of my head. The way that they're like, I say a slew of them coming now.
The way they are now,
and the wave is huge. And the way that, like, you know, all the radio stations and, you know, the money that's behind Irish acts now wasn't behind it then. I suppose that was the only platform, really, that people had was Eurostar. So maybe that people had to go for it to get any bit of money, to get any bit of, a step up. But yeah, I think, like, as the seasons go, I think that one was the dud one. I think people, it just, the change didn't work. And there was, you know, record producers as judges and people didn't know them.
Oh my God, yeah, this random fella from bloody EMI or something. I was like, who
Which,
are you?
No offence to you, I'm sure you're doing great with your career, but like, I didn't know you at the time and I don't know you now. And I'm sure he doesn't know me either, and that's fine too.
Mariah Carey, I don't know her. Yeah, literally has never met either of us, never will. We're like perfect.
Whereas like Linda Martin, Louis Walsh, Kerry Katona.
Iconic.
And Brendan O'Connor.
We will get to the Brendan O'Connor of it all. I should say this season also included Marlene Bain came third and the Sullivan brothers who came second, and Lucy Evans was representing Galway. So shout out Galway. Season five then returned for fifth season. There was no wildcard show this season, so another change. 82 made it through out of these, 40 went through to the knockout round until the final 12 were chosen. I think this was a bit of a shocking season, but again, not one that I can remember. Do you remember James?
This is the one I remember.
Okay, okay, tell me about this, because I'm going to be honest, not a lot pinging in my brain when I was reading
about
this.
There was a girl from, I went to Rice College in Innes. Hello, Rice College in Innes.
Innes got, he did very well out of this, I have to say.
Yeah, so we had girl, Susan O'Neill was her name, and she's got a massive career now. Sun is her name.
Amazing.
S-O-N, yeah, and she's regularly on the Late Late Show. You know, okay, when they do a nice special recognising somebody, she'd be in singing the songs. And she's amazing.
Okay.
Performs at the King Kong Company, whatever. So this is a big shout out for
you. Oh, fab! She's amazing. Sorry, okay, super, I know who she is now. Yeah, yeah.
Super talented. So she was on it, and she was in the school at the time. I think she was in Leaving Cert. I was in second year, so massive hype behind her.
You were like, yes.
Her sister was in my year. People went off to see. I was never picked to go on the bus because I just... I didn't do music, whatever, just because I can't sing or play an instrument. I feel like this is
semi-therapy for you as well. I think we're unpacking a lot of trauma, so I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then there was another girl, Maeve O'Donovan, who was from the Clare Limerick border down Clonara kind of area. And she made it to either the final or the semi-final, made it quite far. So there was a big Clare interest. And then there was two bands, one Scuba Dice, one 21 Demands. And I remember them being really cool and maybe kind of around the start of the band's era, 21 Demands turning up to be Codeline in the end, the very early stages of Codeline. I don't know who was in, who was out in the end, but I remember them being great.
Mm.
And I remember David O'Connor, I think, did he win it in the end? And
yes, yeah, David O'Connor.
I remember having a good, strong interest in the series.
Yeah. So I think there was a guy, Paul James, at the start, who was eliminated in week one, but he was apparently, again, this is coming from your Star Wikipedia page, and again, it's someone who was maybe a Paul James stan, and like, isn't admitting it?
Because
like, it's written, and it's like, shockingly, early favourite, actually, the very talented and charismatic Paul James. I'm like, did Paul James write this? But anyway, he was eliminated early on. Again, slightly different prize, I should say, as well. So it's a recording contract with Universal Music, a publishing contract with Sony ATV, €10,000 worth of musical equipment from Royal Ireland, and a cash prize. And then the judges this year, you had Linda Martin, Brendan O'Connor, and Thomas Black.
Like, those prizes are nothing to be sniffed at.
No, absolutely not. And like,
there's
it gets
good money.
The final season, it's like properly just like a wad of cash, like a lump of cash. We need to talk about the Brendan O'Connor of it all. We're here now. Because again, this was, I really hope I'm never ever asked to be on his show. Not that I think I ever will be. The ego of me being like, I hope I'm never asked to be on a show. But if I am, because I fancy that man. And this was the start of it. Because he was
Cork
just...
That's Cork people supporting Cork.
No, 100%. I was like, I loved seeing the Cork representation of a Cork judge.
Yeah.
He was like, kind of mean, kind of gas.
Kind of berry.
Do you reckon?
He was so mean. And it's so in the... If it happened now, he would not be that mean. Because... That's just not the way TV is now.
Yeah.
He was totally the Simon Cowell of it all and played up to it. There was
a character.
It was
so pantomime.
And I'd say the X Factor had obviously taken off, Pop Idol had happened, and I'd say there was a production call. You're going in and you're going in on those people.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the villain. You're going to give somebody, you're going to give people something to really talk about.
Mm.
You're going to give people something to hate. And like in the world, you either need to love or hate something. If you don't, if you've no feelings, then you're not going to watch it.
Truly.
If you, and the same like with the, you know, if someone's on the cover of a magazine or somebody's got a book out, you're more likely to buy it if you hate them than if you've got no feelings whatsoever. You know, if you're completely indifferent, what's the point? So either hate something or love something, and then think they got the hate in with them.
Yeah.
And like, that works.
It did. It did, because I was eating it up. This was a funny season as well, though, because there was a couple of like guest acts, and like actually, and they like tutored the acts on whichever week they were on. And like some of these names, not anything to be sniffed at. Sophie Alice Baxter.
Yes.
The Blizzards.
Yes.
Iconic. Trust Me, My Doctor. Shane Ward, already mentioned. McFly. Iconic.
I remember McFly, and I remember Sophie Alice Baxter so clearly.
I did not remember this at all. I was reading the names. I was like, fair. Someone put the hand in the pocket and was like, right, let's start spending money on this. Thank God. But again, doesn't really compare to like the Beyonce of it all with Alexander Burke.
No. And at the end of the day, they're just standing on the stage in the Helix. Let's not forget that too.
Do they remember that? Do you think Sophie Alice Baxter remembers?
She's driving in. She's like, what's DCU? What's Dakoot?
She's like, cute. Love that for them. Brian McFadden was a guest judge 1 week as well. And as you mentioned, the final three, we had David O'Connor, 21 Demands, now known as Codeline. Final four, Maeve O'Donovan and Scuba Dice. And this was the first year I think they released their songs as downloads as well.
Okay.
So they
We've
all.
Gone right digital.
This is it. Yeah, 2007, we were on the pulse. And they all made the top 20 in the Irish charts. 21 Demands, now known as Codeline, came in at number one, followed by David O'Connor. But as you said, they didn't even win.
Yeah.
So the 21 Demands song was Give Me a Minute. The Winner Takes It All was David O'Connor's. Landslide, Maeve O'Donovan, and Holiday by Scuba Dice. Scuba Dice, I like remember the name, but I have no
what I remember
like resounding
them,
memory of them.
I feel like they were better.
Okay.
Now, don't hold me to that. I don't really know. But I really feel at the time they were the better ones, but 21 Demands did better.
Yeah.
I think. But then it was all about votes.
Like, this is the thing.
Like, I could go on and sing, and if I had enough votes, I could win.
Truly, yeah.
So if anyone wants to vote for me...
Fun little bit of trivia for you as well. 21 Demands became the first act in Irish chart history to score a number one single on Downloads alone.
Very good. So
there you go. Nothing to be sniffed at. Yeah, Shane Ward was there to announce the winner. Like, again, it's all this feedback from what the judges said. So, like, Louis Walsh said the 21 Demands had a great future with the right management, and they did, in fairness. Brendan O'Connor said it would be a crime if 21 Demands did not win. Linda Thomas agreed, despite these comments. Former jockey. Yeah, it's important to stress that, like, David O'Connor was just, like, a jockey who really loved singing, had done really well at, like, the karaoke world championships. He won. But when we're talking about, like, even viewership as well, this was, again, this was a season that not as many people were into, even in comparison to those early seasons. But, like, the final still pulled over 500,000 viewers, which was down, like, 20% in the previous year. That's unheard of now for an Irish show, like, with the exception of The Late Late, like, The Toy Show, or, like, The Valentine Special. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think people really underestimate that. So in that sense, it's not a flop. It did really well.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the end of it, though. That's it.
That was.
And that's the
literally
the road.
The end of it.
I suppose, you know, six seasons, you can only bring a show so far anyway. Mm. So probably even if it was still slightly successful, you know, or like it obviously was with that viewership, you know, it just kind of comes to how many more singers are there? Can we still get the judges? Can we still get the budgets? Mm. Let's move on to something else. That's what it was, really.
The last season then, the sixth season, we had Black Daisy as well, who I think they went on to represent us in Eurovision at one point. Etc. I've heard that all so many times. Again, unfairly, didn't qualify.
I think that was only one place off qualifying as well.
Oh.
It was either 11th or 12th. There's one or the other in their semi-final.
Injustice.
I remember her in her leather leggings.
They slayed, like, they just looked like brat stars, and I mean that in a complimentary way. Yeah. They were just, I was obsessed with them. They were in it. It was Leanne Moore won that season. She's gone on to be a very successful fitness influencer, but she had, like, a number one as well with her song on Wings. She went on to be a backing singer for Jedward and Ryan Dolan during their Eurovision performances.
She's very connected to Eurovision.
Did a stint with the girl band.
Also married to somebody from California.
There you go. But that's also, like, Irish reality TV is so symbiotic. It's just, it all ends up connecting. But that was the last season. But we have to talk about, in the midst of all this, celebrity, Your Star.
Now, I did not realise there was three seasons.
Neither did I. I was like, I thought it was a one and done thing. And then I went down to the Wikipedia, the amount of people that have been in this, and the names.
Catherine Thomas was on season two. I was like, is this a lie? Like, I need to go find that video of Catherine Thomas singing.
It's very, now there is a YouTube channel that's very handily called Celebrity Your Star, and it just has, like, all of Nuala Carey's performance the season she was on, and all of the GA All-Stars.
Yes.
But, like, talk to me about this. Like, this was just...
So it was all the big names. So it probably came back from the early days of Celebrity Big Brother, which they did it for charity as well. So a lot of the main shows took the charity special, got the celebs in, and the money went to charity. That changed kind of a while later, and anything celebrity related was for money for themselves.
Yeah, classic.
Because they have their own mortgages to pay as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had big names. We had, like, Sean Bon Bronock. I remember him being huge, not being able to sing. With the GAA All-Stars, Barney Rock being one of them, Dean Rock's father, Dublin star at the moment. Catherine Thomas was in it. Sheila Shoiga was in it. You mentioned Nuala Carey, and we talked about her at the beginning. And because her videos are on there, I have watched them multiple times. She sings Downtown, and it's my favourite.
Iconic. Not her material girl performance as well.
That's very good.
Nuala, committed. And, like, I'm happy to talk about this because she was on 6 o'clock show one of the times when I was hosting, and I was like, I need to talk to her about it. And Nuala's great sport, and Nuala's happy to talk about it. We didn't get time to talk about it on air, but I said, Nuala, celebrity or star, I just wanted you to know you slayed. You got up there and you said, I'm serving tonight. Yeah. And
she could sing.
She was so good.
Mm-hmm. And she went right in on the costuming. The production was done on her.
The production elevates here. Now, it's still, again, we're still the Helix, right? But it's definitely the costume department. We're like, okay, we need to step our pussies up. Like, let's do a bit more of the staging, whatever. She is, it's just, so I think they did it for one season in 2005. And I don't know if they were, like, anticipating the success of it. So I think they were calling it, they were, I think the first season is called Your Star. celebrity special. And then they were like, oh no, this is actually good. So we'll just do Celebrity or Star. We'll do it for two more seasons. Mentored iconically by Twink. Brilliant. So all the celebrities were like,
that.
You know, I remember, I forgot. And then when I was reading about it, but I remember like the cut, you know, again, they do it on X Factor where it's like the announcer and it's like, Rachel and Adeji. And they're Brilliant. Doing like, they're standing in the wind yeah. tunnel, but you're seeing her like preparing for the week. They did that on Celebrity or Star, but it's just like Twink being like, so what are you singing this week? And like talking about like, that's going to be very hard, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's so good. Louis Walsh, Linda Martin and Brendan O'Connor.
Was the Pilot Politicians one
judging,
of the
judging, yeah. Finian McGrath did the first year, Independent DD. Sorry, let's go through the first season. You mentioned some of them already, but yeah, Amanda Brunker, David Mitchell, who's a Fair City actor, Finian McGrath, Independent DD.
Sorry, first, could be just David Mitchell, Jimmy Doyle. Like that game, this is a whole other episode of how iconic he was. What a ride.
What a ride. Yes. What a ride.
He lives in New York now.
Oh, shout out. Natasha Nigarov. She's a former Miss Ireland. Anyway, okay. Liam McCormack, a Satitude presenter.
Brilliant.
Where Satitude. Is he? Another one that I used to fancy quite a lot. Shout out, Liam, wherever you are. Sheila Shoga, you mentioned. Alan Short, who was on Bull Island.
Also was a presenter one of the seasons. So
again, love that, following the Brian Norman trajectory. Yeah, so that's
what,
how you do
from
it.
From what I can gather, she did the audition process. Well, what Wikipedia told me was she did the audition process and then it came back in the new year with the live shows. And I think that was Keith Duffy's presenting time.
Yes.
Keith Duffy then also went on to judge it. But, so he went from presenter to judge. But yeah, I don't remember Sheila Shoiga being involved whatsoever, but that's great.
There you go. And then iconically, Jerry May.
Brilliant.
My fave, honestly, my fave.
I loved her, met her once in Mosny.
Oh, and nice.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to meet her.
Yeah.
Second season, then we have Catherine Thomas, as you yes. mentioned. John Aldridge, former Liverpool and Republic of Ireland player. Like, they were able... Like, some of the names are, like, kind of... Like, I'm surprised you got them. And then the other... Some of them are like, oh, yeah, fair enough. Like, you were free and you're up for it. And you were up for a
lot. Bring these back for Dancing with the Stars. Bring Cherry Bay for Dancing with the Stars, please.
I'm like, okay, maybe this is controversial, but, like, I do think we could go a long way with repairing what's going on societally in Ireland by having a singing competition and like letting some of the politicians do it.
That's been nice.
You know what I mean? Because it's so, okay, so we have Louis Copeland and Roddy Collins. Louis Copeland, obviously a fashion designer. Roddy Collins, football manager. Gail Cantwaran, model. Yes. Dahi O'Shea, iconically.
Brilliant.
Shane O'Donoghue, RT sports commentator. Anyanee Drunot. Oh my God, Owen Kane's going to kill me. That's TG Carr presenter, Irish surname, sorry. But then we had Supergroup, the politicians.
Yes. Right? We love a Supergroup. Literally, following on from Final Four. Head of One Direction.
Literally just members of the Oireachtas. We have Billy Keller, TD, Senator Frank Fian, Dan Boyle, TD, Senator Michael McCarthy. What? Like,
could you imagine them gathering up like five politicians now? I'd love to see who they'd put together. I would be so here for it. Maybe just do that.
Now, as much as I think it could go a long way in repairing the country, I also think if that was announced tomorrow and it was like just...
Oh, the uproar.
No, I think it could be a country divided as well.
I think it could actually bring the country down. It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
But I think in 2023, it probably would. Maybe next year. Yeah. My calm down.
Maybe next year. And then we also...
Like, what are RT doing paying all these people? Why are they paying Holly Cairns to
maybe,
sing?
Maybe not now. Let the heat die down and then we can...
like Rainbow Duffy. Why are they paying Holly Cairns to sing songs?
Oh my God. And then, sorry, with McLean Burke, Fair City actor.
Yes.
Love him.
Damien.
Season 3, we had Shane Byrne, Rugby Union player, obviously yes. recently on Dance with the Stars as well, Bryn Pope, Rugby Union pundit. We had a presenter supergroup, which was, iconically, Sinead Kennedy. Did not realise she did
I
this.
I did not read this.
Sinead Kennedy and Simon Deasy.
Oh my God, I don't remember Simon Deasy at all.
I don't remember Simon Deasy at all either.
Absolutely
sorry, no offence, Simon Deasy. But also, I will say, a lot of this isn't online, which is so yes. infuriating. Like, I'd love to properly watch back and get into it, but alas, it's very hard. Sean Van Brannock, you yes. mentioned. Brendan Courtney.
Brilliant, iconic.
Then we had The Roses, which is just former Rose Tree winners, iconic. Orla
Tobin. That would stand to this day as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Orla Tobin, Roisin Egginton, and Orla O'Shea. Joe O'Shea of Seoghlaga and O'Shea.
Which was... like the predecessor of Maura and Dahi. We
truly.
Loved, oh my God,
love
what a great afternoon.
I love Seoghan O'Shea. This is Newle Carey season. And then we had Vivian Connolly, model. And then we had the All-Stars, as you mentioned, Barney Rock, David Begge, Jack O'Shea. They raised a lot of money for charity. I think yes. one of the years between all the respective charities, it was something like 300K. Nothing to be sniffed at. Everyone's having a good time. Yeah. Everyone's having a laugh.
Yeah.
They're doing it to let Brendan O'Connor be mean to them and get dressed up.
Yep.
Perfect.
It's a great day out.
Perfect.
Off the Helix. Put on a
Absolutely.
Nice dress. Dance to Material Girl.
Love it.
Yeah, no. I think I would love to watch that back now. If anyone wants, I have the DVD of season two. So I'm happy to give a lend.
Oh my
God. I must get like a little expedition set up. It is at home because it's there and it will never be thrown out.
Maybe we should do a screening. Oh my God.
We should do a screening.
That's, but again, that is that not so naughty that it's like there was a DVD of the reality show competition.
Like. And then there was like a behind the scenes special where it does like an hour long bringing you through all the bits and bobs of all the weeks. So it'll bring you like a snippet of each week. So it'll be like, you know, on week one, George Murphy sang and it didn't go well. And it like goes to George, like not being able to get the words out or whatever. And then it's him afterwards being upset. And then you go, and then it's like, and this person got eliminated. It goes right through and right through. It's brilliant. I love that. Right fast. We could just probably just screen that.
Honestly, would you? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay,
We could put a shout out. Does anyone have the other seasons?
Yeah, DVD as well? Please, helloflatculture@gmail.com. Please, yeah. Please. I will pay handsomely.
There was a CD as well. And I remember it because Ruth Cullen's song Fields of Gold was on it. I don't remember buying it though. And you could also...
Oh my God, fake fans. Sorry, Mikey. Fucking hell.
But I had the DVD, so okay, I'm it in there. And song one was the You're a Star theme tune.
You're a star. Banger. Yeah.
And then like song 16 was the remix of You're a Star.
There's a remix.
There was a remix. So if anyone has that CD, somebody has to have it. And it was in Roxy Records in Ennis. And I remember going in and be looking at it. To open in the box, taking out the sleeve, reading what was in the sleeve, putting it back in, putting it back on the shelf.
Yeah. We had the exact same childhood, I think, because it's exactly what I did. Oh my God.
And if
obsessed.
Anyone wants it, I do have the tape of Popstars.
Oh, perfect. Brilliant.
And then I also have six CDs.
I love how you're just like shilling your wares.
If anyone wants to come over.
Available to rent. Perfect. Brilliant.
I should put that in my Tinder bio.
I have your star on DVD.
Your star and chill.
They're like, I'm coming over. Your star and chill. Mikey, I'm obsessed. I think we've kind of already covered it, but before I let you go, I suppose, why do you think ultimately it flopped in a way in terms of the drop-off in viewership and the changing format? Is there any way you could see it coming back? And if anyone hasn't watched it, why should they seek it out and watch everything that they can on YouTube or possibly the dark web? I don't know, maybe it's there.
That's it,
or just beg, borrow the DVD. Yeah, or Mikey's house, yeah.
I think it flopped. I think it just ran out of steam. Mm-hmm. I think it just... By season six, like, there was nothing else going on. While, like, it gave people a start in their careers, are any of them bar Codaline massively successful now, unfortunately? Maybe they are. Susan O'Neill, is doing quite well. And maybe there are a few of those other Susan O'Neills that we don't recognise in the guise of their names right now and, you know, are slaying it and, you know, selling out venues that we don't know. And happy
I will
days
say,
that they are.
Yeah, I will enter. George Murphy is literally playing Vicar Street.
Course,
he's sold out Vicar Street. And I think there's another one. George Murphy and the Rising Suns. Shout out. I'm not on his payroll. Yeah. This makes it sound like it is, but
and like,
shout
and
out
it
him.
Is more so the later seasons that we don't know who did well. And like, yeah, George Murphy, Simon Casey's still doing well. Mickey Joe Hart's still doing well.
Flat out.
You know, Brian Horfman had a great TV career.
Absolutely.
Wild flopped, I think, just ran out of steam. It ran out of people, ran out of just ideas. And that was that. They moved on to the All-Ireland Talent Show. And then later, The Voice of Ireland did come as well.
It's The Voice of Ireland.
Which I'd say I watched two episodes of that. So.
Yeah, didn't capture me in the same way, unfortunately.
No.
Unfortunately. Mikey, it's been such a pleasure. And you will, I don't care if you don't want to come back, you have to come back and talk about all the other shitty reality shows.
I will be 100% back for the All-Ireland Talent Show because there's so many hidden people in there that went on to have big careers that we didn't know about.
Okay, season four, watch this space. Where can people... read your work. You're very busy. Yes. Where can people find out more about you if they want to?
So you can go on to my Instagram. So it's Mikey, M-I-K-I-E. No Y's. There's no Y in my
name.
Y's. So MIKIE_OL. And you'll find me there. Yeah, usually just on a night out in the George or get a multiple hair transplant.
Stunning. Perfect. I'll leave all the links below. Yeah. Mikey, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on Flop Culture.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Mikey for joining me. I'll leave all of his links in the show notes below if you want to keep up with him. As I mentioned, no top flops this week, but I would still love to know who you think is top of the flops, who has been flopping hardcore in the public consciousness, hard word, in society. Please let me know. If you're listening on Spotify as well, there is usually an interactive box in which I ask you who is top of the flops. So if you're listening on Spotify, let me know. I'd be excited to read them on my travels. Flop Culture returns next week with the best
worst Irish film ever made. I'm not even being hyperbolic, and I guarantee you it's not the one you're thinking of. So excited. This has been Flop Culture. Big thanks to Adam Shanahan for editing. I will see you next week. Bye bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.